Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Thanks for tuning in to another Radio 314 interview. This is Lana, and I'm joined by Kurt Flowers and Damon Charles from Executive Trustee Training. Today, we'll be discussing the business of life and becoming your own boss, including the whole lot of fiction, mind control, and feebleness in between. Hello, Kurt and Damon. How are you both this afternoon?
We are well.
Feeling good.
Well, I've really enjoyed hearing your refreshing philosophies in life, and I'm glad you get to share them with our audience here today.
So what are we hitting on today?
Well, before you both tell us about your website, Executive Trustee Training, tell us about your background and how you ended up to this point in your life today. Let's start with Kurt.
For me, I was just curious. I was researching something online, and then I heard that you didn't have to pay taxes. I said, really? And this is like right after I've kind of like self-educating myself on finances. So in my head, I was like, that's a 33% raise immediately if I don't have to pay income taxes. And then I started researching it. Then I started following these groups called Sovereignty. And I was like, well, what is this sovereignty stuff? And then you kind of got into straw man theory. And then you're kind of just down the rabbit hole you go.
That's right.
And then I started listening to groups. And they had conference calls. And on the back of these conference calls, I would study like crazy. I started up my own little Sunday call, tried to get a few people to like study with. And then after a while, I became popular. I didn't know what was happening. These calls were being recorded, and they were being recorded but sent out internationally. Like, no, it's the internet, anyone can get it. And then I just randomly got a call one day, an email from this guy named Ben Larry, and I'm like, I have no idea who this guy is. And then I checked him out to see if he was legit, not some like crazy stalker guy or something. And then next thing I know, I looked on YouTube and he has like 1,000 videos, and he's interviewed a gazillion people, and I'm like, okay. And I still didn't understand why he wanted to interview me, because I was just this guy on the back of a call who would just say what he had studied. And this is my opinion of it. And next thing I know, he did an interview with me, and then my inbox blew up. And then people calling me, well, emailing me, asking for help. And I'm like, I really don't know how to help you guys. I just have opinions about things. And then I started helping some people for free, letting them know that I had no idea what I was doing. And then, you know... And then I got some help from a few other people, and, you know, and here I am now.
Wow. How about you, Damon?
Oh, my story's not as cool as Kurt's. my parents, they had a home that had all of their equity in it, all their life savings in Seattle, Washington. And, I was young 20s, and their home burnt down, and their insurance company figured out how to ditch the responsibility, and my parents couldn't afford to pursue that claim civilly. So I had to get real creative to help them. It took me about 5 years to figure it out, and it took me into the real estate business, and eventually through, you know, all the ups and downs involved in that, I made a lot of money. I went to the bank. I really had a good time, you know, building that business. And if you look right around the 2007 time is when the real estate mortgage crisis hit. And I had all kind of projects and properties, and everything just went crazy. It all fell apart. And I thought that, you know, I was smart, and, you know, the reason why I was so successful was because I worked harder and all that type of stuff. And what eventually happened was I found out that it was just kind of set up that way. And everybody was making money, commissions, banks were, lenders, real estate agents, everybody was making money. So my projects were just going well. Eventually, you know, when they pulled the rug out from underneath me, or us, you know, America, I really, I saw that I didn't have the skills to hold anybody accountable to all of the agreements or all of the laws or anything that was protecting me and my money and my family. I couldn't help myself. I hired lawyer after lawyer, I guru, you know, tax attorney, consultants. I had everybody, and all of my stuff was set up by a tax attorney. I did everything the way you're supposed to do it, so to speak. I consulted the state websites. I did everything, and I still lost my shirt at the end of it. And I had to figure out how to go back around and protect my interest in the places that I still had something, and to go back after the assets that I thought were rightfully mine against these people that were more capable than me. I think because they were politically aligned, or they were more savvy, or they just understood the game better than me. Mm-hmm. So I ended up running into, you know, a bunch of information that was kind of on the sovereignty level, that it really just was my initiation to law or contract law. And it was the way I entered into this stuff, and to being able to help myself is what I call it. And that's really my story, is that I had to stop hiring people to do the stuff that I needed to figure out how to do on my own.
That's right. If you want something done, ultimately you got to do it yourself and not be needy of other people. So let's talk about executive trustee training. What is it, and what is the bigger picture, your philosophy behind it? You guys both can jump in on this.
Well, I would recently, you know, we kind of just looked at everything and revamped, like, I guess refocused would be a better word, what we're trying to do. And it's kind of exactly what it says it is. So it's a literal and figurative meaning, in a sense that we are about setting up trust, because in this kind of litigious world, you know, you got to protect yourself. And how do you continue to build wealth and kind of do like the uber rich do, and how they do it? And so, you know, you're not struggling. Each generation is just struggling as you just go through life. And it's just, you can't really learn, do much that way. And then in a figurative sense, it's if you look on the website, he's talking about you do things like a boss. You know, you just take care of your business, and you start to run your life like a business. And me and Damon both come from a business background of running, doing our own thing. And if you run everything like a business, you see the principles. Business principles and life principles are the exact same thing. The only difference is one involves money and one doesn't. Mm-hmm. So if you organize your relationships, not in a business sense, like, oh, we're coming in, we got a mission statement with our business. Not like that. But if we look at it like, look, if we have a discussion, and me and you are talking, and we're having a disagreement. Well, in a business, we don't just start yelling and screaming. Well, maybe internally, but between two people, we don't start yelling and screaming. We have like a structured argument, or we have a lawsuit, or whatever it is. But either way, it's resolved in a kind of more of a civil manner, because you don't want to destroy the relationship, because you want to continue doing business. You know, if you mind your own business, you start to get things accomplished better when you have goals and missions and a team of people who have the same shared goals. Things get accomplished.
That's right.
So turn your life into a business, or look at it in a kind of a business aspect, and then mind your own business. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, get along. So that's kind of what the whole thing is about. And, you know, getting away from the super emotional side of things, because while it plays a role, you're going to get destroyed by these people who have plans and who use logic. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Creature from Jekyll Island and all the powers that be and all those people, whoever you want to call them or believe in. They're extremely, like, the way they've, I don't want to say usurped, because I think that's inaccurate to say that you've usurped our power, but the way they've tricked everybody into living this lifestyle, and the way everyone, the quote unquote, you know, unawake are, or the average person is, it's execution wise, it is absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. It sucks, it's corrupt and all the other, but it's beautiful. But that takes planning. Lots and lots and lots of planning and execution and trial and error, but they have a goal, and that's what their business is, to enslave people. What's your business?
Nothing personal, just business.
that's what they're doing. And so on one aspect, I can't fault them for them. Like, hey, that's what they're doing. The thing is, because you're not minding your business, you're falling victim to that, to their plan.
That's right. So do you feel this current system was intentionally rigged to keep humanity in servitude? Is that the ultimate goal these guys have?
You know, we have the, if you ever seen Money Masters.
Yep.
Like that documentary, and it goes like they control the money. Federal Reserve knows who controls the Federal Reserve. And you get into all the conspiracy and all that. But really, people can manipulate the system from within the system, or you can exit the system. Choose. Or you can live in both worlds. I say live in both worlds, because exiting the system, I'm not trying to be Wild Man Bill and, you know, give a live off the land and start stabbing deers and, you know, punching. I'm trying to do, but I don't have to be a slave either. I have to do everything that they're saying, because you have to at one point start questioning why.
That's right. And you don't have to demand that they change their system. You just ignore it and go do your own thing.
Exactly. And if we start emotionally round up about they're doing this to us and start focusing on your business and say, well, how can I change this? They will fade away. Like, kind of like Fantasia. Remember Fantasia movie? The world was crumbling. Why? Because no one was thinking about it. System in, it is in everyone's mind.
That's right.
To it, but it's in a, stop paying attention to it.
That's right. Well, that brings us to the ultimate question of who is authority. But before we address that, how about you guys tell us what the straw man theory is? Because I think that's important here as well.
Well, I think that straw man theory has been talked about so much, and it's so much more to it. So it's kind of like people introduce the straw man theory and say it's the key to everything, and we got to know who we are and this and that. But, you know, after years of studying all this stuff, it's full circle. It's all fiction, right? It's everything is
fiction. Right.
Even our language is fiction. It's all these are arbitrary ideas. But for in order for us to communicate on it in a more intellectual level, we have to have abstract ideas. And so we have name, and you have the legal fiction versus who the man, the living man. And the legal fiction was created for a reason, not necessarily for corruption, the way even some people may think who are more emotionally riled up. But it has a purpose. For us to have these abstract ideas called companies, you know, websites and all these are all abstract ideas.
Yep.
In order for us to operate, we have to have these fictions interact with each other. But we also must understand that there's a fiction and there's me. There's a straw man. Like the straw man, if you look up the definition, it is a front that represents somebody. And that's all it is. And it's nothing more than that. But, you know, some people attach to it and say it's evil and this and that, but no, it's just something that has to be for us to have these iPads and these those radio stations and these shows, and for us to advance communication and everything we have, the fictions have to exist.
Sure.
Yeah, I think a big part of it when a lot of people run into this theory or they first hear about it, it has to do with the conflict in their life. They attach it to that.
That's right.
But this conflict, we're gonna have conflict. We're not always gonna agree. You know, we're here. There's a lot of people, you know, so different ideas, different goals, different politics and all that type of stuff. And so, you know, because of the conflict is where most people first start to pay attention to that theory. It takes on this negative thing. But if you learn how to use it and drive it and maneuver it, the ins and outs of it, it doesn't come. It's not negative or positive. It's neutral. It just depends on how you want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say all tools are neutral. It's all up to the user. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. You know, things like that.
Exactly. Exactly. And also about being your own leader, making your own mistakes and learning in your own ways. There's no one size fits all kind of method.
No. And I remember there was a book, I think it's called On Liberty. And within that book, it says if you send your children to school, public school, you're a fool. And, you know, just so, but at one point, when are you going to start educating yourself? You know, we can complain about the public school system and it needs to change. We need to improve it, but it's not your system.
Yep.
It's bottom line. It's not your system.
Yep.
So you can complain or you can change something or you can go just do it yourself. Go educate yourself. And that's what I've been doing for the last 5, 6, 7 years now. And, you know, I ain't never turning back. I don't want everyone to go back to school for anything. And everyone thinks, oh, I need a new job. Let me go back to school. But you're putting yourself right back into that system that has failed you already.
Exactly. Not very smart.
It's insanity.
And at the same time, these quote unquote authorities will fight to keep you in the system. But that's part of what's going to happen. And you got to be ready to deal with it.
Part of it. No, I did a call not too long ago called Subtleties of Jurisdiction. And it's just really the small ways they got you real used to convenience, all the convenience. Modern society is full of conveniences, but they control those conveniences. And because you really don't want to do anything yourself, you're not going to want to give up your convenience. So you just go back in line with them. And that's the problem. It's like, well, I really want my driver's license and they say I got to do this. And if I got it, like, I'm a motorcycle instructor, right? And to be that, because it's a part of the state, state's controlled by this and that, you know, all down the line back to the powers that be somewhere. In order for me to keep my motorcycle for teaching motorcycle, I have to have a driver's license. I really don't care to have a driver's license. I understand that I don't need one. I understand if I drive without one or I travel without one that, you know, I get pulled over and I do all this. But at one point, you're operating in two different worlds, just like being in the Matrix. These people don't know they're in their Matrix. And so they're going to – their belief. Whose belief is stronger? Whoever has a stronger belief will win. So the cop comes with his belief and I come with mine.
That's right.
But I also understand that, just like Morpheus said, that I've seen these agents punch through walls, dodge bullets, but they are still bound by the rules and codes of the Matrix. Same thing as with cops. They know they have jurisdiction, and they don't establish that, they can't touch me. Some of them will, but there are consequences for that. And when you're in control of your life, a lot of people like to make threats. I'm going to lean you up, and I'm going to whatever they're talking about. But in the end, if you're going to – you have to make a poster child of somebody.
That's right.
So somebody got to be let them know that I'm not playing a game and you don't have the authority to handle me or deal with me in that matter.
Exactly. Hey, Damon, I know you said people are untouched by life in general. Can you talk about this? Because I think that's an important part as well.
I think that was Kurt's quote.
Was it?
Did I say that?
They're basically, they're too chicken to get into it. And with that comes some growing up. You know, you're going to get into confrontation. You're going to screw up. You're going to be uncomfortable. But that's where the growth happens. That's where the knowledge comes, right?
Definitely. Go ahead, Kurt. No, go ahead, man. I like to hear your spiel on this one.
And I have a program I've developed in my whole teaching myself, you know, teaching myself like how to learn things rapidly. And like you just said, the growth happens in the mistakes. So I say, love your mistakes. That's a part of life. And the more you mess up, the better you get faster.
Yep.
So I say, go out there and just screw up as fast as you can.
I think government tries to prevent that in a way too, with their so-called justice systems. You know what I mean? They're trying to circumvent this natural process of people learning what the natural law is and having these experiences and learning to deal with things on their own. See what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. I like, it's in the public. What are you punished when you make a mistake? But the opposite should be true. You should be encouraged to continue going because you made a mistake. Now you know what not to do.
Exactly.
And you keep going.
That's right. So then going back to the current system, if the state is fiction, so is the current money system and all the rules, laws, and paper within it. So these are concepts you as executive trustees know, right?
Yeah, you know, the paper system, but it's a fiction that's a necessity.
Yeah.
Do we necessarily need Federal Reserve notes and all the burdens that come with them? No, we have other forms of money. And we currently have other forms of money that we can use, but people are just used to the convenience of Federal Reserve notes, so they don't want to go outside that system. And they don't want to take the energy that you would need to find out how to operate without Federal Reserve notes.
Mm-hmm.
You can do bills of – you can do promissory notes to each other. You can just stop trading with money. Just trade directly.
That's right.
Some things you would need federal, like cooking – I mean like food and groceries. But you know, if you – like I'm into permaculture. Like real big into permaculture, Bill Mollison, and you know, I took the whole permaculture course, and it's so deep, and you can really, if you have like a couple square feet in your backyard, you can feed yourself all year. Have a few things that you really need to go to the store and get that cuts on your money. The use of Federal Reserve notes. You can do things in gold. You can trade with other people. Just all types of things you can do, but you just got to look for it. And most people are just not willing to look because they're used to convenience that they have already.
That's right.
I asked Kurt when he was in town. I asked him, was his facilities going to be in the house, or are they going to be behind the house a couple of yards? he said that his lifestyle wasn't going to change much. So I think that when you start talking like that, Kurt, you got to clarify, man. Go ahead. I mean, what are you saying? Are you going to have a long beard and live in the hills and once you're going to have a shotgun in a truck, or what is it?
I told you taking shots at me. But
what are you going to do with that, man?
You know, we got to look at, if you want control in your life, you have to take control. So that means your food, which goes directly into your health.
Self-sufficiency is what you're saying here.
But, you know, yeah. But when people think self-sufficiency, they think I have to give up everything.
Yeah.
No, yeah. You're not looking hard enough. You don't have to give up. You can have the same exact modern lifestyle with all the benefits and all the stuff they have it, but without the burdens and the detriment of the bad health and the fear of legal things. And if you set everything up properly, and that's why the trusts are so important, that I can have my protection. It's still kind of within this legal system, but it's also outside of it. It's like a quasi entity.
Mm-hmm. That's
because
right.
Corporations belong to the state and trusts don't. But the courts are there to enforce things. So we can have this legal structure set up. We can have our own food. It don't take much to grow your own food, but people have these misconceptions and they're just too lazy. Ultimately, they're just too lazy to explore them.
That's right.
But you're going to get what you get out of what you put in, you're going to get out. So if you don't want to put any effort into your health, that's what you're going to get out. Poor health.
That's right.
Unless you got money to do it.
Yeah, I tell you, that was one of the biggest lessons that I learned, you know, as an entrepreneur, you know, was that eventually I have to stop pointing the finger at all. I couldn't figure out what the problem was for a long time with all the things that were happening to me that I thought were happening to me. I had my blame game on. It was the straw man, the government, everything you could think of. I went through all, but it was really just my approach. And so, you know, we're going to interact with each other. You know, no man's an island. You know, for me to exist, you know, you have to exist. You know, without relationships, we are nothing. So we're gonna interact. How do we interact with each other and be decent with each other?
That is key.
I think that, you know, if a trust is something that you haven't explored or you haven't looked into, you have to ask yourself why. What's wrong with it? And so with the Federal Reserve notes and all that type of stuff, it solves a lot of problems, and it's like a monopoly, because if we didn't have this Federal Reserve note, which means so many things, it's a promissory note, it's commercial energy. It means, I mean, if we had to explain what it meant, how many pages would it take? So if I want to go to this corner store and buy a pack of bubble gum, what is the fine print going to say about that? You know, what am I agreeing to? And the state or the government or these companies have cured all of that stuff. They fixed a big problem because a lot of people don't want to think that much. They don't want to do that much. They'd rather just use the benefit and get it over with. Well, that comes at a cost, and it probably should.
Why do you think people now are so lazy? Does it have to do with our pop culture, or what is it?
I think it just happened organically by way, you know, you have these corporations that market things that you don't need that end up occupying entertains you, occupies your time. And then, you know, a lot of people are forced to work really long hours. I shouldn't say forced. You know, the wages are so compared to the economy or how the real economy, what you need to live here, you know, the wages are unsatisfactory. So people spend a lot of time at work. They spend a lot of time, you know, recovering from work, and distracted. People spend a lot of time being distracted. And they don't have time to educate themselves about or even think about the day-to-day, you know, how they interact with people, which is really important, how they interact with their family. You know, what are their artistic expressions? You know, what is making you happy? What is life about? You know, who thinks about that? Who has time to think about that with all of these things impacting you? And I think that was, I got back to living. You know, I was chasing money for years, and I was taking care of everybody in my family. Everyone loved me. I was the king. I was the king. They had to call me for everything, and I was miserable. Miserable. I mean, man, I remember sitting on a couch in my room, big, huge room. I'm sitting on a couch in my bedroom, and I didn't move for 6 hours. And I had been through that before in college one time. I hated the school that I went to. I hated college. It was like I realized that I was depressed. And an employee of mine had stole my business. It's really hard to explain, but I ended up suing her and a couple other people for a couple of years, and I got a judgment $1.1 million was the judgment. That's the type of business that she actually interfered with and caused me damages. And I used a lawyer to do that. And that was a miserable experience. And what I'm so thankful and grateful, because what I was doing at that time was I was running a call center that had 69 seats in it. And I had about 20 employees in there when this all happened. And it caused me to shut that call center down. And I couldn't imagine still being in that business today. I was 5 years ago or so now. And I would be miserable in that business. So I could I could tell you that that was the worst thing that happened to me. It cost me a lot of money. And I probably will never chase her. She makes, you know, I couldn't chase her around for to collect this judgment all my life. I would get it a couple hundred dollars at a time. It's just not worth it. Such a negative feeling about it. But, you know, if that hadn't happened to me, I probably would be sitting in this call center, this dingy, dusty call center building, just rotting away, you know, becoming angrier and angrier and blaming more people.
Well, that's what people need to know. Right now, I mean, people are getting laid off of their corporate jobs or these companies that are just toxic and polluting and killing, basically. And it's like, let it fall, let it crumble, let go. You shouldn't be part of that kind of parasite anyway. You know, this is a wake-up call when these things happen.
And that's my, I think that's where my love, I have a love-hate relationship with marketing, right? And that's what kind of, at one point, I was a tour manager. So I've worked for a lot of big brands. You name it, I probably work for them. I go travel around the country, set up events. And at one point, as I got more into this and teaching and helping people, you know, I started to have moral conflicts. Like, here I am teaching one thing, and then here I am on the other end telling people, you know, promoting some product so they can go buy and waste their time. And just, it serves no purpose in life. And at one point, I was in the back of a truck loading up some products. And I said, you know, and I just sat there for a second. The other people were talking. And I said, that's it. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And I was done. And that's when I decided to go full time into doing this and just making it work. So I made a lot of money. I was making like $80,000 a year. And then I was like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And I stopped. But the problem, like what you asked earlier was, well, why are people so lazy? Well, it's the marketing and the advertising. Because I think people are, you know, honestly, they just, I don't want to say simple-minded, but, you know, they're just honest people. It's like, oh, okay, this is good.
If the marketing is amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. And when people talk to you, you say, oh, you can do this. This will make your life better. They say, oh, okay. And they say, okay, so many times that they get used to those things. It goes back to the planning. And that's why the execution is so beautiful when you really stop and think about it. And it just, they got used to all these things that were so amazing and they're so great. And hey, look, I got this iPad now and I can do all these things and I don't have to leave the house anymore. And I don't have to interact with people. So we have like, you know, quasi pseudo relationships with 150 friends and they just get used to it.
I think too, they're trying to fill the hole in their soul. This is getting darker and deeper.
Yeah. And you just sit there and I'm like, it's so, I hate it. Because I've seen, this is the reason I believe people are lazy. It was contrived. It's slowly, but just boil that frog, nice and slow. Because if you look at untouched villages or villages that are not as modern, people are fine. They work hard. They ain't got no problem doing nothing.
That's right.
It's only really in major cities where we have all these widgets and shiny things that people's like, whatever.
And those are the people that submit to authority. And if you think about it, I mean, in the past, through acts and threats of horrible violence, authority has been claimed and made over people for years. But like you were saying, in the untouched areas, they don't have this kind of fear of authority.
No, they're just like, whatever. You know, they know their sheriff and they know this. And that's small town. Some people are like, I can live in a small town. But it's just the conveniences and they just got control over you because they can... it was told to me, I read it somewhere, like I read everything else. If the only reason we give you things is so we can control you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You learn to let go of items, no one can control you because you ain't got nothing to lose. Like, I don't care, take it. I don't care. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's my love-hate relationship with marketing. And that's why I hate it, because I see the way it controls people and it destroys their lives, but they don't realize it until it's too late.
You know, that makes me, you know, I think about when he talks about marketing, I think about, you know, if we have this vehicle or we have researched and came up with this thing that would help you feel better, be happy, and address all these conflicts that we run into by way of interacting with each other. If our trust is that thing, and we could make it simple, or we could educate a person about it, how would we tell them that? With all of this stuff going on that he just talked about, with Facebook and what's trending and what's on Fox News, and how could we tell a person that? How do we interfere in that marketing with something that's really useful like that?
That's real hard to do.
Very, very hard. I think the key is just to be genuine and put it out, and the person that needs to hear is going to hear. You know
what? From a marketing standpoint, I used to believe that. Then my friend told me, he used to say weird comments to me all the time, but I didn't understand him because I didn't have enough life experience, best way to say it. And he said, you must fool people into believing what's good for them. And I thought, like, no, that's not good. You can't do things like that. But after so many years and all the clients I've dealt with and dealing with people, there's a lot of validity to what he's saying. And that's what's being done to us already. You know, we've been programmed for centuries, programming. So you got to reprogram yourself. Either you do it or someone else is going to do it.
That's right.
So if I have good intentions for you, assuming that our goods line up, that we have the same definition of good, then I just got to fool you into believing this is better for you until you can realize that for yourself. And that's all marketing is, just psychology.
Do you think there's ever been a golden age in history where everyone lived differently with each other and was kinder with each other and people weren't trying to manipulate us and program us?
Yeah, actually, I don't know if you ever heard of the Tuscaloosa race riot. So it's called Black Wall Street. And the history of that is there are 36 square blocks that basically through racism, all the black people say, you know what? Screw it. We're just going to work with each other. We're tired of being told we can't shop here, can't shop there. They said whatever. They became the richest city in the country. And then all the whites were jealous and they burnt down 36 square blocks in one night and killed every black child, woman, and man that they saw after a while. But and then they shoved it under the hitch. No one really knows about it too much because they only had one headline in the paper and it disappeared. But that's a clear example of everyone who just lived together. They everything was fine. They never had to leave their city. They never had to go downtown. They never had to do anything. And so it can be done. It's been done over and over again, but we just never hear about these things because we're always entertained by something else.
Well, and the elite control the media, so you don't get to hear.
But that's why I said you have to search for it. If you really, truly want it, you'll find it.
That's right. I want to get your guys' opinion on human rights, because I keep hearing many people say, what about my rights? Yet when a human is born, think about it, there's no rights given to us by nature. It's not a natural principle. So, I mean, the fictional state is really the one that tells us our rights when we're born, right? There's no fairy that grants me rights when I'm born. So, right. How do you guys think about that?
You know, I think it's just a real complex issue, but you know, there's all these underlying things that's going on. And I think one of the biggest things that's so hard to talk about or to use is the social contract, you know, and it kind of changes depending on who is your subgroup or the subculture and, you know, what's honorable, and what's not, what's decent and what's not, what's just and what's not. Those things aren't really written in law always, you know, there's in this particular culture, there's a code and that code doesn't exist in another culture. Yet they meet or they see each other all the time. And so, you know, understanding the social contract and I think really basing today's time, because we're able through technology, we're able to communicate so much. I think finding a way to use legal maxims to kind of understand how to deal with each other. I think we're almost forced into doing that rather than using these subculture codes or, you know, when you do that, I think it becomes dangerous. And, you know, that's why, like the, like he said, Black Wall Street, I think that wasn't a nation that did that. That was this city or this town or this territory that attacked these people. And it was legitimized. they thought it to be legit because they saw this community as a threat on their livelihood or their ability to live the lifestyle that they wanted. And so they legitimized their actions. But in another place or another culture, that would, no matter what the law said, they legitimized it. And then they swept it under the rug. And that happens all the time.
I say for me, it's a lot more simple. Point blank, you have no rights. That's right. Rights only exist in a society so we can live side by side with each other. That's it. Outside of that, you're in the wild. Mob mentality, jungle, all that. There are no rights.
Exactly.
Because, you know, in a society, my rights end where yours begin. But in the real grand scheme of things, the real picture, the only rights you have is what you can enforce. So I'm bigger than you, I'm smarter than you, or I got more people than you or something. And I think if we come from that mentality first, at least understanding that and accepting that as a fact, you have no rights. And even the maxim said, he who does not assert his rights has none.
That's right.
So nothing's guaranteed to us in the court. So that's saying that I have some type of obligation to listen to your rights. If I walk up to you and smack you and you don't do nothing, I walk around smacking everybody and no one do anything. Guess what? You guys ain't got no rights. You guys either get together and stop me, someone shoot me, or someone's got to do something. But outside of that, I got a right to smack everybody until someone tells me otherwise. And that's how they're born.
Yep.
Just grow up. I can smack people.
Yeah. So holding others accountable. You know, we both said that in some way. You know, how do you hold others accountable?
And that's why we have court systems. And then, but you know, the courts are corrupt and blah, blah, blah. But without the courts, like, you know, like sometimes, like you have like the anarchist, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea sounds nice, but in reality, it won't work.
Why?
Because without, like, at least from the, I don't understand everything about anarchy, except for the basic premise. And some people say no state, some people say other things. But let's think about it. If there is no state, who's going to stop people? You? Ha, yeah, right. Your friends? No, it's not happening.
What about a higher force? What if that's when you allow a God force, if you will, to come in there and deal with the situation instead of trying to deal with it yourself?
Yeah, Kurt, how about that?
That's fine. Show me an example where this God force has stopped people from getting backslapped or shot or anything else. And
You may not see it, but it's there.
Now he wants proof. You see that?
No, I'm not saying like, that's fine and dandy, but the reality is that people are going to try to encroach themselves upon you and your position, your property or whatever. People do it all the time. And without cops, at least to deter them on some level, then what do you got? Then we all have to band together. We actually have to become a community.
Sure, but you don't need government for that, though, right? You can still come together.
No, you definitely don't need a government for that. No, I'm not advocating that at all. But I am saying that the people who promote these things, there's nothing wrong with it. But for me, everything is about practicality. Are you actually going to do that? And we can talk about it all day, but at what point, what are you doing to move away from the state?
That's good.
Saying. Like, let's stop talking about it. Let's do this. Because you've seen communities that they take care of themselves.
Well, you sound like Wild Bill now. You sound like Wild West.
That's why I say it's a balance. Like, yeah. we don't need it, because there's always going to be some form of government. We just don't want big brother, you know, the stereotypical one. But we have smaller groups. You know, if we all get in a community, okay, someone got to take care of all of our food. How about we assign these people to make sure all of us are fed?
Yeah, you come together with agreements, but not
and that
like
becomes a small government. That's all it is. So there's nothing wrong with government itself.
There's still going to be conflict there. So what are you going to do? Are you going to off with their heads? Or what's when someone steps out of line? Do they get whacked? What are you going to do, Kurt?
Yeah.
But that's the thing. That's why you need some type of we agree. We have some type of force or something.
Well,
and I don't see anyone
historically
else.
Speaking, though, all of those always gets overtaken by corrupt
power
people.
Yeah, power corrupts.
And as we said before, conflict is natural. That's something that we're just going to have on this planet. And maybe it happens for a reason. Maybe it's some other bigger force working. I want to read you guys Spooner, Lysander Spooner, who was an anarchist writer in the 1800s. I want to read you a quote from him, his view on government. Because he said this historically... Excuse me, governments have always become one thing, and this is what it is. They have been mere bands of robbers who have associated for purposes of plunder, conquest and enslavement of their fellow man, and their laws, as they have called them, have been only agreements as they have found it necessary to enter into in order to maintain their organizations and act together in plundering and enslaving others, and in securing to each his agreed share of the spoils. All these laws have had no more real obligation than have the agreements of which brigands, bandits, and pirates find it necessary to enter into for the more successful accomplishment of their crimes and the more peaceable division of their spoils. I would say that sums up government pretty well.
Yeah, it sums it up.
But I think we have an idea when we say government, we're talking about a very specific thing, like the government we deal with. But there are other governments that are nothing like that if we just use the term government. So, like I said, it's just we have small communities, they have small governments, and they work just fine. So it's just our government or these huge governments that become an issue when they, like when they get too big for themselves. And then you have the issue of self, they try to perpetuate themselves. So whoever's in government, like I said, hey, we got this. We're pirates, we're thieves, and we're trying to perpetuate our lifestyle, which is feeding off of others. Mm-hmm. So they're going to do everything to keep that going. Yeah. But it goes right back to if you mind your own business, start taking care of some things yourself, that has to mitigate itself. It's going to dissipate because you're not asking them for anything anymore. And then so they do things to get you to ask them for something. You know, kind of I always forget what it's called. You create a problem and you come up with a solution and they get you into power. That's and right. They just do that over and over again because it keeps working. But no, because no one's thinking for themselves. There's no critical thinking. There's no, okay, this happened over here. No, like, let's take Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook, oh, gun control. We need gun control right now.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. But because people have the inability to think for themselves, probably because they went to the same public schools that have trained them how to think,
yep.
No one can do it. Like, we can't get things done. So government is kind of like, just leave them over there. If you don't want guns, fine. Some of us do want guns, and I don't care what you believe.
Yeah, it's not being a fascist, you know?
Yeah. You want guns? I don't care. Whatever.
You don't like it? Go move to another state then that
exactly.
doesn't have
don't,
it. You know?
Don't try to take my guns because you are ignorant towards guns and you don't want to touch a gun and you want someone else to pull the trigger for you.
What is just for one is never just for another, like exactly. we're saying.
That's why we can't. It's hard for us to. That's where this conflict comes in. We shouldn't have other people. Who are you to tell me? It goes back to the authority question. Who are you to tell me that I can't have a gun?
Yeah.
I digress.
I have one more good Spooner quote for you. He said, if justice be not a natural principle, governments, so-called, have no more right or reason to take cognizance of it or to pretend or profess to take cognizance of it. And all their professions of establishing justice or of maintaining or rewarding justice are simply the mere gibberish of fools, frauds, and imposters.
See, like, people should read stuff like that every day.
I know.
I just keep it looping in their brain.
I look at that and I think, you know, what I do often is deal with foreclosures and stuff like that. And, you know, people, we talked about being untouched by life and the foreclosure, that process here, it's so unfair and it moves so fast. When I say unfair, it is almost no one has the due process of it is convoluted. You don't really know that in some of these states, in most of these states that are non-judicial, you know, it just happens. No one goes to court. No one ever says you lost your house. Just one day, you know, you get these letters in the mail and then one day they tell you to get out. You don't really know when that day is coming. You're not sure. You're not certain of it. And, you know, those people, they have bought in. They bought in the American dream, the job, the insurance, the money, the mortgage, you know, 401k, all that stuff. And now they have to think alternatively. And so, yeah, you know, you can't tell them, okay, permaculture is the answer, Kurt. Can you?
This is the answer.
But then again, maybe people would be smarter if they ate cleaner food. They wouldn't be so stupid.
That's true. Yeah.
That's also true. But, you know, I want to get, like, into all the foreclosures and the mortgages and all that stuff. Because, like, for me, people are too consumed in all, like, house is important. Yes, it's a very important thing. We want that ownership and all that other stuff. But, like, for me, it's like, we get way too caught up in this stuff. It's very emotionally draining. Like the clients I have, like I can't get away from their emotions because, you know, I'm with them. I care about their situation. So these people are drained. But at one point, we kind of, for me, we get too caught up in the rah-rah, the government this, and they're destroying us over here. And look, we just got to get our shit together. That's the bottom. We got to stop pointing a finger. Understand that you are the problem, first and foremost, no matter what. Because that's why I keep saying the execution is beautiful. Because how do you herd cats? Like, can you herd cats? But if you get the cats to believe that's where they're supposed to go, my job is done. But I've never forced you to do it. And what we perceive to be force is not really force. It's just fear in our mind because we're afraid to, one, fail, find out, discover all these things that we're punished for in school. And we just like, oh, here we go. And we have to do this. They're forcing us to do. No, they're not. If you really think about it and you really look at the situations, they're not forcing us. They're just very skillfully manipulating us through emotions, through our belief system that they've probably implanted in your brain, just all types of things. They haven't forced anyone to do anything. Sometimes they do. I'm not going to say they don't. They do.
Yeah. IRS, guns, you know.
But know what? You got to question the IRS. I remember the IRS came knocking down the door of one of my clients. I said, look, just go ask some questions. Because they have to prove what they're saying. Now, they have the guise of a justice system. But if they have that, they have to keep up that facade.
I'm stealing. This is justice.
when you go knocking at the root, the foundation of that thing, and they say, well, we got to keep the facade up. We just want to snatch him up and take his money, but we got to keep the facade up. So you have them in a tight corner. Utilize that.
What kind of questions would you ask?
Great. The best thing you can do in most situations is make zero assumptions. When they say, if you ever deal with IRS, you'll always realize that they always say the word taxpayer. They never say your name. They never say people, person. They always say taxpayer. So can you please define taxpayer? How do I fall within that? What binds usually in taxpayer?
It's in their presentment where the questions come from. They're going to write you, and then you have a whole. And if you know what you're looking for, you can go through that whole thing and come up with 100 questions if you wanted to.
As a child, ask zero questions. I mean, make zero assumptions. Just ask what they will get so frustrated with you. And for one of my clients, they dropped his case. They said, "You know what? I've never seen it happen before." They said, "You're too broke to pursue, so we're going to drop the case." That doesn't mean you don't owe the money, but we're going to drop the case. I said, I've never seen that before, because the IRS will put a lien on your house, put a lien on everything they got. If you can pay a dollar or if you got $150,000, they don't care.
I did that in Arizona for a person. The Bar Association was coming after them for handling something on their own. And I did the same thing. And they said they didn't admit. We're not admitting to anything, but we're just going to drop the case because we don't believe that you intended to do what we said you intended to do from the beginning. It's like, because the question, there was a guy, his name is on the bottom of the paper and he signed his name to it. And there was like 20 questions, and then he wrote back, and then there was like 20 more questions, and then he wrote back, and he just was like, I want to go play golf. I don't want to deal with these guys. He wrote the letter and was like, forget it.
And so it's just start asking questions, and you get right at the root of the issue. Where's your authority coming from? Why do I have to follow you? Well, most people just follow it. And once you start following it, it's assumed that's what you're going to be. We are the authority. And they're going to keep acting that way until you stop and say, wait a second. But people are afraid to ask that question because in your upbringing, they say, what? Don't question me.
Yeah.
Because the kids usually hit you with very logical questions that you have a hard time answering because they don't have any other way of thinking. It's just very logical.
Mm-hmm.
And then you punish them. Then they stop asking questions.
They you usually go to school.
You avoid the, you question a teacher. You get punished. And anything you do, you get punished for asking.
It's funny because my kids usually ask me to define words. That's like the most questions. They just ask, what does that mean? There something on TV, the radio, whatever. What does that mean? And it's, you know, if we did that more. We probably get a lot further.
It's a lifestyle. You're like, when you stop questioning. At one point, I questioned damn near everything in my life. And then when I emerged from that questioning phase, I was like, wow, everything's so different. And that's when you kind of, everyone talks about they want to discover the truth. I'm like, all right, start asking questions.
Well, like mortgage means death,
promise death certificate, or something like that. Like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
You know, to crack open a dictionary, the world will open up.
So what are some other terms you guys notice that we should be keen to?
Well, really, I don't know if it's terms, but I would say to realize that we're speaking two languages at all times and that we don't realize it. We have legalese and we have English. And that we interchange these two all the time. So when we go into court or we deal with anybody, we don't know what we're actually saying. We believe we know what we're saying. Because when we grow up, we never really look up half these words. We're taught them and we assimilate the rest of them and, you know, through osmosis and things like that. And it's like, okay, I know what these words mean. And when you stop to question people, what does it mean? And they'll give you, well, this is what it means to me. Well, unfortunately, you didn't create the English language and we have something called a dictionary. So you should go use it and know what you're saying because the words have meaning for a reason. No, words mean shit. They all have a specific meaning. They all have different little things that there's subtle differences, but that's why they have subtle differences. So learn them.
That's right.
So I don't think it's any particular terms, but understand that every word has a very particular meaning. And when you're saying something, know what you're saying. And then you start to become more aware of when people talk and you start, it's really a study of linguistics. Start to study linguistics just a little bit. And you realize when people talk, they don't know what they're saying and they're making up their own definitions and then we can't communicate with each other. And I would say 95% of all problems in the world come from some form of miscommunication.
I agree. Yep.
So just learn to communicate. We'll be fine. Just open up a dictionary.
Now, Kurt, you said you knew a guy who, I heard you in another interview, said he didn't pay a loan or a credit card for 2 years. Can you tell us about his story?
He didn't pay a loan or a credit card for 2 years. Did I say what the result was?
No, that's why I'm asking you now.
Well, I know plenty of people who...
Yeah, happens a lot.
Yeah, they won't... Credit cards are, especially the credit cards and debt, you get into the whole monetary thing and where money that goes back to the definitions, like look up what the words mean and what are you assuming. And you realize just when you realized, I think that was me actually. I just stopped paying. And then you think, because then you get caught in all my credit. It's not really your credit, it's their credit. But I stopped paying the credit card and people think that you're going to lose all your credit. No one's going to give you a credit card. That's not true because I was still getting a credit card offer. As a matter of fact, I got more credit card offers because they want you in their system. Then they turned around and sued me later because they tried to collect the debt, but they lost. So if I owe this debt, how could you possibly lose in court?
Exactly.
If this debt existed? But they lost.
So what happened in court?
It was funny because the lawyer kept threatening me. I'm talking about all the way to the end. That's why I always tell people you must follow through 100% of the way. Because I'm talking about she was on me 99% of the way. I went into court. They said, he's talking straw man stuff and blah, 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 blah. I was like, what is she talking about? And the judge was like, hey, don't talk to her. Talk to me. And so I said, okay. So she said, go out into the hallway and deliberate or whatever you guys are going to do out there and come see if you can come to agreement. And so she brings me out to the hallway and she starts talking about, well, we're going to take you all the way to trial and we're going to da-da-da-da unless you have some type of deal or offer. And I know from a negotiation standpoint, because we teach negotiation, you never try to avoid making the first offer. So I saw that, okay, this is a lawyer playing this game. And I said, oh, so what are you thinking about? And she said, oh, and then she kind of thought I was going to start coming up with some type of settlement agreement. And I said, no, I'm just going to take it to trial. And she got mad at me. We stormed back in the court. So we went, that hearing was over. We came back and I'm like, yes, I'm going to countersue the hell out of this damn woman. And got my paperwork and I'm ready to go because I'm like, they can't prove this debt. And then I put a fee schedule and I'm like, they damaged me and blah, blah, blah. And I was ready to go. And I walked up. It's like, this is trial. I said, I'm here for that matter. Trying to do all the name game straw man stuff. And then I walked up to the bench or the little part where we're supposed to stand. Lady, because she worked for a bunch of debt collectors. She was just turning over debts a few minutes before. People weren't showing up. This person versus us and the judge, default judgment. And so I'm like, okay, She's just up there just going to town. I walk up for trial, and she didn't even look up.
Jeez.
She didn't even look up because she wasn't looking up while she was doing all these other things. She's shuffling paper because people weren't showing up. She said, "We're not ready for trial." Just like, case dismissed. But I said, "What?"
Wow.
And they just dropped it because I came all the way to trial. So I said, just go to trial. They'll drop it. They don't have any evidence. They didn't put anything in the evidence. They didn't do anything. And then I was so taken back, I forgot to pursue my counterclaim. And so it completely threw me off, and I completely forgot my counterclaim. But I was like, whatever. And I just said, that's not worth pursuing anymore because I wasn't going to go back and try to fight it and get my money. But if they did it again, I'll be prepared. It won't trick me so easily.
So what's your guys' approach to loans and credit cards? Do you guys still have them? You still get involved with that or what?
Actually, pretty easy. Debt collectors, if you got a debt collector, you sue them. That's just flat out. You sue the hell out of those debt collectors. You use the court system for what it's good for, and you get paid because debt collectors are third party. They have no right to call you. And people are getting settlement checks from debt collectors left and right. People are like, that's their new full-time job is just suing people, wow. Suing collectors. Like, people are getting paid. Like, so that becomes very easy. Credit cards, really, it's the same thing. I say, hey, stop paying your credit card. Let it go to debt collector. That's one method. Pay it off. Stop using it. Like, it really depends on how far you are in the system. Are you worried about your credit? Are you not? Do you give a damn? And then from there, we come up with a creative strategy and say, all right, let's do this. But debts are, they're pretty easy. I think the only toughest debts are like student loans. Those guys hit hard. But no, you can overcome them like anyone else. But they don't play. Student loan people, they're prepared for any type of argument you have. They've heard all the straw man stuff. They've heard the admiralty stuff. They have boilerplate templates that to send out the minute they see anything remotely similar to any argument or ideology like that. And they're like, oh, you're trying to make this argument, and we BMW versus blah, 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 and this guy tried to make that argument. He failed. Well, yeah, that's one argument out of how many
exactly.
Thousands? I mean. So, you know, with all that, that's why we kind of have like we created the movie. Like, we have a movie we're coming out with called Affidavit, and we kind of go into a lot of those things through this interaction between this cop and this guy, and that he's being interrogated. And so through that, we educate people in a very subtle way. And for people who missed that, we'll probably have like some PDF that explains the points. Just like in the entertainment. It was like some big old drama. And that's why, you know, we're putting on the shows. Like, we have a new guy called, I don't have a name for him, but it's called The Black Man's Guide to Debt. And we just, it's like what every white person, every other race should know about how to handle debt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a comedy, actually. And so you get debt collectors calling you, and it's like chapter one. And curse your wages. And what else? That's like the whole attitude. And then no chapter two. So, and he just keeps going from there, and he just rants on about like debt collectors, and it's like, who cares? You can't come down here and tell me I owe a debt. Put a bullet in you. And you know, just stupid things like that. So we have like lots of little creative ways to help people. You know, because the stuff is really easy to do. It's just that people just don't want to educate themselves on doing it. Because you know, may have to take sit down for a month. But after a month, you'll be pretty well versed on how to handle yourself.
Mm-hmm.
People think it's like, oh, you've been studying for 5 years and not that long. I've been studying for 5 years on one subject. I've explored all types of subjects.
And Kurt knows something about everything. Don't listen. one month, whatever. I've been studying forever, and I ask Kurt something, man. He knows something about everything. So I don't know. You know, he has a talent for that. He's a sponge. He sucks that stuff up.
Do you know
up,
about the Sumerian texts and the Anunnaki?
I've heard of them. I have heard of them.
Well, there's a theory that our DNA may have been manipulated. Some, what was it, 200,000 years ago to produce a less intelligent primitive species, a slave race?
Yeah.
No?
Well, yeah, I've heard that in a couple
There's
of different ways.
So many ideologies. Nothing really surprises me anymore. Like, you know, I could see validity in all of it. Like, we can see it.
It's true.
In all of it. So I, like, I don't really say, oh, that's not possible. Like, I can pretty much believe almost anything you tell me. I can make it work in my head.
You sound like you'd make a good lawyer.
Some people tell me I should be a lawyer. I was like, why would I ever want to do that? Like, I don't want to be limited under someone's control, a bar card.
Exactly.
More powerful by myself.
I just think that a couple of the last points that he made just goes back to these tools are just, they're neutral. You know, but it took a lot of studying for us to feel that way. You know, we don't, like you asked if we, you know, are we dealing with loans and credit cards and all that. Maybe, you know, I'm not opposed to it. They don't have horns. I don't see them as evil. You know, I don't, currently that's not a part of my strategy to go out and get a bunch of loans or whatever. But if the time comes and I think that they're useful, then I know how to deal with them a lot better than I did, I don't know, maybe 7-8 years ago.
But, you know, that's why we get the, instead of having anyone study for like all the time we have, like I said, it's been a bunch of studying, but that's why we make books. Like we have the one book coming out now, the Executive Trustee's Guide to Mailing. And in that, we just kind of boiled down what took maybe, I don't know, a year of studying, not even a year, just experience and studying and saying, look, you don't have to do all this studying like we did. Here's everything you need to know boiled down.
Yeah, and we dispel all the myths and eclipse all those, the conspiracy theories, all the stuff that you hear about. You're not sure whether you should take that advice or not. We made we cut to the chase book, and Kurt did an excellent job in that, man. It has a lot of illustrations, and it is, that's one of the first things that we, you know, in our tools, and Kurt has a package. What's the file called on the website?
All right, Executive Trustee Starter Kit.
In the starter kit, you know, you learn about how to give notice to another party. And that's what that mailing book's about. It just, you know, it really, so that you don't go silent. We don't, a lot of people may not know what that does, but, you know, so that you don't acquiesce or go silent to these debt collectors, or anytime there's a presentment, it ends up in one of your inboxes. When you go silent, it really makes your position weak, and you become, others do gain authority over you with that. And so that book really, Kurt did an excellent job on that. And that book really takes you through the whole process. Even if you don't have any, you know, you don't have any evidence, you don't have anything good to say, you don't know what to say. Now you know how to respond and how to assert your rights. You know, due to what do we got? You know, I spend a lot of time talking about the TILA RESPA laws and all that type of truth in lending and all that type of stuff. But Kurt, you know, he spends a lot of time on everything. So I don't know, Kurt, when I read it, what do you focus in on as far as the laws go? Well, that book.
It's just everyone has all these ideas, like the dangers. One thing I always advocate against, like gurus are cool, right? They give us a good overall understanding of something. They give us a path to go down, but sometimes they lead you down a path of destruction because you're going to take their word and you don't really do the research behind it.
Yeah.
And that's when I started breaking away from some of these gurus, when I realized when I researched the things they said, maybe they weren't saying it completely accurate, but that one little detail, have your ass in jail. And they're not going to be there to save you, no matter how nice you think they are. And no matter how, they're great on radio, that guy's heart is full of love. Well, he's not going to pick up the phone when you call him, and he's going to ask you for a lot of money to get help. You know, and rightfully so. There's nothing wrong with that, but it ain't going to, that heart you talk about ain't going to be there. So, you know, we get into like, what is the reality of like doing these processes and the mailing side of it and what a notary can and can't do. And this is the reality. And here are some examples of what happens if you do it the wrong way. Like one guy tried to put my name on some documents because one of his gurus said that I'm the custodian of records in the Republic. And so my name needs to go here because I'm a notary. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. What Republic? And I don't remember ever being custodian of anyone's documents. And he tried real hard to put my name on these documents. And I told him, if you put my name on these documents, I'm going to come after you with everything I have. And he knows I'm not threatening him. And he stopped. But you got to be wary of some of these ideologies that people have. And like I said, I'm not against many of them. I believe all of them have validity. Most of them have validity, I would say. But you still have to understand the practical side of them.
Of course, yeah.
How can we use them without, because jail is a reality. Yeah. No matter what, jail is reality.
Someone standing at your door could be a reality. Very so much how it. Are you going to deal with it?
Exactly. I've had people call me, I got five cops surrounding me. What do I do?
No. That really happened.
Really?
And he did well. And he called back laughing.
What happens?
He's a farmer. He sells raw milk, which is illegal.
Oh, no, God forbid. Yeah, I saw Farmageddon. Meanwhile, we're like nuking people, you know?
Yeah, right. So he sells raw milk, and he was selling it. You know, he was on private property out of a nature store so he can meet his customers. And the alderman happened to roll down the alley he was selling, and he said, you need a license to sell that. And he's like, no, I don't, because he has a private club, because he understands that private contract. So we taught him that. The alderman says, you can't do that. I'm calling the cops. He says, whatever. Because he says, whatever. He keeps giving his milk to his clients and doing what he's supposed to do. Next thing you know, cops roll up. And he calls me like, dude, the alderman just got. I was like, look, don't worry about it. Calm down. He hangs up. I said, he goes back. I get a call back a few more minutes later. And he says, dude, I'm surrounded by cops. What do I do? I said, look, just ask questions. Now, a lot of people use questions as a delay tactic, or they're just asking questions randomly. I said, no, you have to ask very pin. You have to know, what is it? Voltaire, I think the French philosopher, said you understand the intelligence of a person by the questions they ask. Mm-hmm. And so I said, ask them very specific pinpointed questions that get to the root of it. Where does it say that I have to have this? Or, you know, he started asking questions, and the cops wanted to pounce on him. And he said he could see it, but they did not, because he never granted them jurisdiction to. And even though he's an alderman, an alderman's like, arrest that guy and blah, blah, blah. The cops didn't move. Oh. And an alderman, he was pissed. And then he drove off all mad and overweight and everything. And then the cops said, one of the cops said to him, said, I don't know what you know, but keep doing what you're doing. And then cops left. That was it. But anybody else would have started probably yelling, arguing, screaming, and getting mad or something. He wanted to get mad, but I said, don't you dare get mad, because they will beat you down.
Yeah. You got to keep your cool.
Got to keep it. But that's someone who's in control of their life. People who have real power don't get mad. They don't threaten you. They don't do all that stuff, because they know they can execute.
Yep.
So that's why calmness scares the hell out of people. When you're calm, people get scared real quick.
Yep. I agree with that. Well, awesome, guys. Give us your website and any other details you'd like everyone to know about, such as where they can get the book and the film and all that.
So you have executivetrusteetraining.com. You know, if you sign up on the mailing list, you get the starter kit. It's just free. It's just the starter kit. What makes the starter kit special, that out of my 5 years of studying, these are core documents that I find are foundational to really getting good control of this legal understanding, so you can have more confidence. So that's what's important about a starter kit, because otherwise you can wade through YouTube and you can wade through hundreds of documents like I did and try to read each one and take 5 years. Or you can just take the starter kit. I'm sorry, it's just straight hardcore documents. There's case law backing them up, so they're quote unquote official also. And you have a good understanding of that. And right now we have a contest that people, if you go onto the website and you leave your comments on the blog, we're going to pick the best comments and give away the book, the new book. So they can go, all they have to do is just go and comment on the blog and you get the new book. We're going to give away like 3 or 4 copies.
Awesome.
And then we have the movie coming out. I don't know when it's coming out.
Are you guys working on it right now? Or?
Yeah, it should have been done a long time ago.
Yeah, I know how those things are. Yep.
Like actors and divas and yeah. But it'll be done soon. It's we have the new movie. It's called Affidavit. And we also have a new show called Kui Kui, which is short for Kui Bono Kui Mala, which is good for whom, bad for whom, which goes right into the authority question. That's just a small comedy show. Each one's like 3 to 5 minutes long. And we already have 2 episodes shot. I just want to get a few more shots so I can keep ahead of this curve. Because as you know, producing a radio show and producing a movie or a show, it takes like hours and
all day, every day.
The 3 minutes of shooting, it takes like 48 hours to get. And then you got another week of editing. And yeah, so I'm trying to make sure I stay ahead.
Thank you, Kurt. Thank you, Damon. You were both a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And to everyone listening, including Homeland Security, the quicker you see the fiction, the happier you will be, like Kurt. We'll talk again later.
Thank you. This is me. This is Susan Pinsker. I love you, Mommy.